Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Hamas has officially violated the ceasefire agreement inside of Gaza. Yesterday, two Israeli defense soldiers were killed inside of Rafah when Hamas attacked a bulldozer with an RPG. Day prior to that, Hamas in the north actually ended up crossing the yellow line in an attempt to attack Israeli defense forces. They have broken the ceasefire agreement, make no mistake about it. And I've got it on word from, we're going to call them confidential sources right now, that Trump has greenlit Israel to go in and finish the job. That's happening. It's going down. Today, Israel is moving around the Gaza Strip, clearly defining the yellow line, which Hamas is not supposed to be crossing and wasn't supposed to be in the first place. Additionally, not only have they violated the ceasefire agreement by attacking and killing Israeli Defense Force soldiers, but they also have failed to return the bodies that they claimed that they had. We're going to be taking an in-depth look at everything that's going on inside of Gaza and what you can expect. And oh, by the way, all of the humanitarian aid for Gaza has been stopped. I reached out and got a statement from GHF this morning. Even they have been instructed, I don't want to say to stand down. Let me read for you the statement that I ended up directly getting just a couple minutes ago from the spokesperson from GHF. He said, GHF was asked to pause operations during the hostage release phase, which is still ongoing. While the situation remains fluid on the ground, GHF has been instructed to remain ready to re-engage and specifically not to take any action that would preclude us from resuming operations immediately. GHF has truckloads of aid loaded up and ready to resume delivering aid directly to the Palestinian people, including women, children, and elderly. So they're set up and they're ready to go into Gaza. Meanwhile, it definitely looks like the Washington Post finally got something right. Sorry, having a bad hair day over here. Washington Post finally got something right. Gaza ceasefire is cracking and Hamas is to blame 100%. I'm going to put up on the map here and show you guys these different locations inside of Gaza where all this stuff allegedly has been going down. But how do I want to say this? The fact that Hamas has broken this ceasefire agreement really shouldn't surprise anybody at all. It shouldn't surprise anybody that they've broken this ceasefire agreement. They have, I think last week I told you guys that Hamas had said that they are not going to be disarming. And not only are they not going to be disarming, but essentially they refuse to not take part in the, like, they want to be a part of the government. Now, none of those things go along with the ceasefire agreement. Hamas also said that Donald Trump was lying about this entire deal, and that there was certain portions of it, such as them disarming, that they weren't supposed to be taking, like, that they didn't agree to. So they're calling Donald Trump a liar. And wait till you see what the Ayatollah ended up coming out with. Battlefield ends up saying, coffee on me this morning. Thank you very much, man. I really appreciate that. I love seeing all the new true supporters in here. So let's take a look down inside Rafah and what I ended up getting told by some of the people that were on the ground down here when this ended up going down. So the IDF, we're going to take a look at the incident first from, I think it was about 18 hours ago, 18 to 24 hours ago is when these soldiers ended up getting killed. They were on the ground down here in Rafah. For those of you that are unfamiliar with the situation in the map, I mean, because maybe we got new viewers that are jumping in here, all right? But you have Israel, you have the West Bank, which is this dotted line area all the way over here. If I was to blow this up big so that you guys can see it, you have the West Bank and then you have Gaza. And Gaza is where we're going to be focusing on for the main violations that have occurred over the weekend. All right, we had one incident that occurred down here in the south near Rafah, and then we had another one up here in the north near Beit Hanan, where Israel has been operating for quite some time. Now, what I got told was that Hamas didn't intentionally mean to target the IDF, because God forbid they actually own up to what they were doing. What they were supposedly doing was going after al-Shabaab's men, and for those, I need to explain to who al-Shabaab is now. Al-Shabaab is... he is the security leader in the south. He's currently operating over inside Khan Yunis. I got a video of him and some of his guys walking around inside Khan Yunis right now. But supposedly, that's who Hamas said that they were targeting, that they weren't intentionally targeting Israel. They were going after al-Shabaab and his men. Well, it doesn't matter because they're supposed to be disarming. So the fact that they're launching attacks on anybody right now, they're in violation of the agreement. But even more so, they ended up killing two IDF service members. And I find it highly... dishonest to try to state that they didn't know who was operating that dozer that they ended up attacking. It wasn't a tank. It was a dozer that was down there clearing routes and clearing areas. And you guys are about to see. So that took place down here outside of Rafah. And what I got told was immediately following that attack that ended up taking the lives of those two Israeli service members, that there was one of the largest shows of force that they have seen. These are the two guys. One was a major, Kola Z, and there was another one, Sergeant Yabetz. Both of these gentlemen ended up getting killed over inside of Rafah. Their funeral have already started to take place. I'm going to go ahead and... So, often asked, how come we always have these high-ranking Israelis that end up getting killed? In this case, we have a major that's pictured up on your screen. Why is it the major ended up getting killed? Israel is like very good when it comes to leading from the front. Even in the United States military, we have this saying called, you know, like leading from the front. Well, they're also all about that life. This guy actually aspired to be some of the, like at the top level. Like he was turning Israel into his career. Like he wanted to basically be the, how you would want to say, like the commander, right, of the Israeli Defense Forces. So it's sad that he ended up getting lost down there. And Israel is kind of feeling it. And again, I got told this morning that beyond the shadow of a doubt, the ceasefire deal is now off, that all gloves are off. Egypt and Jordan both signed their names to that ceasefire agreement as well, which means they should be now on the side of Israel, because that was the whole point of like the Gaza peace summit. This is Israel today going around Gaza and actually dropping off these giant yellow bricks that are supposed to be indicating where the yellow line is that Hamas isn't supposed to be crossing. Now, I am conflicted inside because I heard from a very good source. Very good source. Turn that off. I heard from a very good source. Stop. I want you to pause. I heard from a very good source that this ceasefire deal was off and that Trump has greenlit the IDF to go in and finish the job. This was Hamas's last chance. It was their last straw. This stuff isn't supposed to be taking place anymore, so it's done. And yet Israel is still going in and setting up this yellow line. So I don't think it's official yet. I don't think it's officially been put out. I don't think it's officially came out. I think Israel is still setting this up so that they can gain more ammo on the international stage. To me, it's not a sign that Trump hasn't greenlit them to do their job and go in and wipe Hamas off the planet. To me, it is Israel trying to defend itself against the international community, the UN, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because they're going to sit there and try to claim, well, Hamas didn't know where this imaginary yellow line was at, so how could they have possibly violated the ceasefire agreement? Well, they possibly violated it because they're refusing to disarm and they're moving across the yellow line and conducting these different attacks. They are 100% currently going around Gaza and collecting explosives, ammunition, et cetera, in order to rearm and refit and take the fight back against the Israelis. All those videos that are floating around online, I told you guys last week that what Hamas is doing when they're killing their own people is they're going after the people who are refusing to give up their arms and ammunition. And so them going around Gaza, all of these like videos you see of people getting their freaking legs broken and shot, etc., a lot of them, all right, are refusing to disarm and give their arms up to Hamas. And because of that, they're being treated like they are spies, like they are on Israel's side, etc. And these people probably just want to be able to defend themselves and don't feel like taking up either side, if we're going to be perfectly honest about the situation. But nonetheless, that's what they see. This morning, you know, as I sit there and I tell you that ceasefire deal is over, Trump has unofficially already greenlit Israel to go in and finish the job. The Ayatollah over inside of Iran came out with this statement. He says the U.S. president boasts that they have bombed and destroyed Iran's nuclear industry. Very well, in your dreams. So not only do we have Hamas that's refusing to abide by their ceasefire agreement, you know, Iran was supposed to go and they linked up with the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, and they were supposed to have transparency about their nuclear energy program. Remember, it's supposed to be peaceful. And yet the Ayatollah just took it and swung that out there like as information of a threat, calling out the threat. Incog Faraday, I see you. Thank you for reminding me. Appreciate that. And I swear, I actually don't even forget to do that. It's just literally you are reminding me to do it. So I appreciate it every time you guys do that. Because I like you guys having that ad-free experience as we sit through and go through here. Now, if you don't think that Hamas had intentionally targeted the Israeli Defense Force soldiers. Here's a video from a Palestinian down inside Rafah.
حدث أمن نظيف برفح لبلاد طلبت أهلها برغم أن الحرب متوقفة إلا أن رفح حبت تفاجئنا بطريقتها الخاصة الآن انفجار آلية عسكرية تابعة لجيش الاحتلال برفح برغم أن الحرب متوقفة إلا أن رفح حبت تضغط الأعادي.
All right, let's take a pause right there and take a look at this. What's he say? Rafah wanted to return to attacking despite the ceasefire. And he said that they called upon the people. Rafah wanted to surprise us in its own special way. Yeah. Let's see. Where'd it go? He said the state called on its people. What he's referring to is Hamas calling on the Palestinian people to go and attack Israeli Defense Force soldiers. And they answered that call by launching that attack against the IDF inside Rafah. So any information that Hamas is going to try to put out to try to like cover this event or say that, no, we were going after Shabab and Shabab's men. Mm-mm. The people inside of Rafah explicitly state that Hamas has called upon them in order to attack the Israeli Defense Force soldiers, and two Israeli Defense Force soldiers were killed. There's no beating around the bush on this. There's no trying to gaslight the people. They had told the people in Rafah to attack the IDF, period. Period. And on top of that, Rafah wanted to return to attacking. And this gentleman is stating to the IDF, as long as you remain inside Rafah, these security events are going to continue to work against you. The return to Rafah is very close. Stay strong, Rafah, the mother of explosions. Now, what this guy failed to tell you was the massive show of force that ended up taking place afterwards. Yeah, he might be the new Mr. FAFO, which I don't even think I talked about on this channel yet. Mr. FAFO actually got killed by Hamas. So Hamas killed Mr. FAFO. Israelis couldn't get it done. So, I guess Hamas ended up taking care of it. This is one of the incidents that took place over inside the north. I told you guys I would keep track of you on the map. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be backing out. We're going to be going up over into, I believe this was outside of Jabalia in Beit Hanun. And this is where that incident ended up taking place. And this is one that went down on Saturday, not even on like Sunday, yesterday, 24 hours ago. This was like before that. So 2 days in a row, two different incidences that took place. And here you can actually see Hamas. This video ended up getting put out by Israeli Defense, the IDF official account. Identification of armed terrorists approaching IDF troops in the area of Beit Lahaya. So that is just to the side of it. Okay. So this is Beit Hanan, where I thought it took place. No, I'm sorry, Beit Lahaya, right next to it. So, I mean, you're talking, what, like 5 kilometers, maybe? My bad. Not even. 3 kilometers. I was 3 kilometers off. Excuse me. All right, let's get that video back up and keep that sucker rolling. So you can clearly see that they're armed, and they've crossed the yellow line, right, and they're moving, or the alleged to have crossed the yellow line, and they're moving towards. Israel ended up spotting them splitting up, which is indicative that they're about to be launching an attack. Okay, they're moving into different separate positions, and then Israeli airstrikes get called in, eliminating the terrorists in the north. Now, this is one incident, a violation of the ceasefire, and this is an entire cell. This isn't one armed gunman. This isn't freaking, you know, 5 people. This is like 20 plus people that it looks like inside of this video, breaking up into different cells to go and launch an attack against IDF forces. When that failed, then we saw a smaller attack yesterday take place inside Rafah that ended up killing those two Israeli Defense Force soldiers. Now, I told you that all humanitarian aid had been cut off inside Gaza. Why? Well, first, I'll let you know that, again, Palestinians are claiming that they never received an ounce of free humanitarian aid until GHF arrived on scene. But now we also have Palestinians that are coming out. This old woman just literally doesn't give a crap. If you want the absolute truth from people, go listen to what old people have to say. They're so close to death, man, they could care less. This old lady straight up says that Hamas has been stealing the aid and not giving it to the people.
Now,
If hearing it from an old lady isn't bad enough, I want to bring this up. I ended up sharing this, but for some reason, it just never went anywhere. I think it's about time that I actually start, you know, bringing this up and posting this again. I got about 140,000 views. I ended up finding this. I'm going to repost it today. When I went over into Israel and I ended up getting, you know, the little dog and pony show, and I went over to the Kogat site, which is right down, for those of you guys that don't know. So this location I'm talking about right here, the vast majority of the humanitarian aid in Gaza comes across right here in Kerem Shalom. You can actually see it down here on the map. It says Kerem Shalom checkpoint. It's like the southeasternmost corner, if you will, if we're to go there. And there's the town Kerem Shalom. And then there's the crossing point that's like right down here, just to the south of it. When I was down there, that's where this image was actually taken. Excuse me, let me get that up. That's where this image was actually taken. And it's 100%, like I mean this beyond everything, all of this crap, right? Over 20 tons of contraband in the week prior to me going to the Kerem Shalom crossing, over 20 tons of contraband got taken off of these UN trucks as it was making its way into Gaza. This is a bottle of sulfuric acid. Sulfuric acid, for those of you guys that don't know, is a precursor to making very sensitive explosives, the type that you would need to put in blasting caps and several other things, all right? And they are smuggling this crap along with drugs, along with everything else, into Gaza on these World Food Program trucks. So why isn't the humanitarian aid making it to the people? It serves them two different, how do I want to say this? It serves two different purposes. Number one, they can get their ammunition, they can get their equipment, they can get all of that stuff off of those trucks and get it back. Two, they're then able to manufacture the humanitarian aid crisis by not releasing enough stuff back out to the people. The problem is that the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation ended up making its way in, all right, and disrupting that supply chain. So now the price of flour has actually dropped to a reasonable price inside Gaza. Last week, I ended up showing a video that shows the amount of flour that they actually have is so extensive that they value the wooden pallets for like cooking more than they do the flour. Just tons of flour has just been discarded on the streets over inside of Gaza. That's how good of a job GHF actually did it distributing humanitarian aid. There's so much out there that a lot of it has actually been shucked down onto the ground. This is the gentleman that Hamas claims they were trying to attack. This guy right up over here on the left. Right, this is Mr. Shabab, and this is him walking through Khan Yunis. I believe this video was taken yesterday. So even though the IDF has backed out and pulled out of Khan Yunis, and I'll put that up on the map here in just a sec, it's about 5 kilometers north of Rafah, the place I had on the map earlier. This gentleman is still holding security down there. All right, and Hamas is after him. Make no mistake about it. I do believe that there is credible information that says that Hamas is trying to target and kill this guy along with his militia, because his militia is working alongside the IDF. And there you can actually see a dozer that's sitting outside of there, right? But his militia is working alongside of the IDF, was when they were there, helping to clear routes, etc. There's also videos that have emerged of Shabab's men actively hunting down Hamas inside of Gaza. Actively hunting down Hamas inside of Gaza, which is great. Incog Faraday came in gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. Look, 3 a.m. Forge in the house gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships as well. So this man has a huge target on his back. Now, why is this huge? Because it shows that the Israeli Defense Force and the Israeli government is actually moving to have local nationals provide security inside of Gaza. It's actually proving, it's proof positive of when they say that they don't want to be responsible for Gaza for throughout all of time. They want guys such as Mr. Shabab here to go in and actually take control of the situation and provide security for the people. Additionally, when the IDF ends up pulling out of that area, all of these mass murders and stuff like that we've been seeing over the last like couple of weeks, if Shabab's in the area, chances are very few are actually taking place, or Shabab's going to be going after them. So it's also security for the people on the ground inside of these areas who have been working with, who have been protesting against Hamas. All right. Those people that have been protesting against Hamas, that have been opening their mouths, they're all going to be targets for Hamas to go after. So Shabab serves like dual role right now. One, he's actually able to take care of his own people. But two, he's also able to make sure that Hamas is not like resurging in these different areas. So that attack that took place inside Rafah, likely, I would assess, somewhere in this area. All right. So we're going to measure distance from, general speaking, where it probably went down at on those IDF soldiers, somewhere in this general vicinity. And the center of Khan Yunis, about 5 kilometers away, or 3 miles. All right. So not that far, all right, from where it's at. Less than an hour's walk, if we want to be honest about this. If you're just walking, about an hour's walk away from where the attack took place to where Shabab's at. Now, the crazy part is when I ended up going through Rafah, I can concur. Most of Rafah is completely and totally leveled. For those who don't know, I was there maybe, what, 4 weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago, when I was down over inside of Israel and got the chance to go into Rafah. Whole place is just leveled, right? Make no mistake about it. Place is destroyed. But the fact that it is that destroyed and you still have Hamas operatives that are running around over inside of Gaza is very, very telling about the enemy situation on the ground. I still assess the enemy, Hamas, inside Gaza to be about 10,000 strong at this time. They started off with right around 40,000. 40,000 at the beginning of the war. It's absolutely insane. And since this ended up taking place, like I said, I got told, like, since that attack took place, I got told that one of the largest shows of force that some of these people have ever seen actually took place following the death of those two Israeli service members. This is a scene from Gaza yesterday. Take a look at that. Take a good, solid look at that. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different airstrikes up on your screen right now. Just in this one little area, 8 different airstrikes that ended up going down. And because the alive hostages have since been returned, allegedly all of the alive hostages, because we all know that the women haven't been returned, so there's a good chance that they're war brides. It could also be that they're dead, but chances are that they're freaking war brides. But Israel has increased their airstrikes on different targets throughout the Gaza Strip that normally they would have been ignoring. These different targets consist of weapons depots, caches, things of that nature that are hidden over inside of the civilian population. All of these videos that you are seeing coming out about these airstrikes have been taking place over the last 24 hours. Israel, while they might not have gotten up and crossed the line and pulled all their people back and shoved and surged all of their people back into Gaza, Israel certainly has increased airstrikes over the last 24 hours inside of Gaza and also outside of Gaza, which you're about to see. They're done playing games. They went back, they're dropping bombs, and they're coming in hard, all right? This is preparatory fire before Israel goes back in. Those little yellow barricades and everything that they're dropping off, those are propaganda, as far as I'm concerned. That's for Israel to say, look, we tried. They still violated the ceasefire agreement. These strikes, they can easily articulate as self-defense because Hamas is refusing to disarm. They've launched multiple attacks, and they've killed now numerous Israeli service members. So Israel is going to be able to write this off and say, you know what? We were doing the right thing. We were acting in self-defense in these different situations. And there's literally nothing that anybody can say and or do about it. Here's some more of these airstrikes. When I tell you that they've been coming in hard, I ain't playing. Israel has been coming in hard over the last 24 hours or so inside Gaza. I mean, just dropping bomb after bomb after bomb after bomb, just getting it. Largest show of force is what I was told that they had ever seen. And this comes from a very experienced service member on the ground. So if a very experienced service member, in my opinion, is saying that this is the largest show of force that they've ever seen, when I tell you that the gloves are coming off, I 100% mean it. And there's going to be an event, I think, that's going to be taking place tomorrow. All right, that is going to bring more light to this situation. So anybody that thinks that I'm lying for some reason, that they haven't been greenlit, that they're not going to end up going back in, that they're not going to be disarming Hamas, it's going to be very clear. I think in the very near future, if what I'm being told and what I'm being said is correct, it's going to be very clear in the very near future that the gloves are in fact off and Israel is going back in to finish off Hamas. This is done. This is a done deal. Don B says they found a sniper perch out where Trump boards Air Force One. They looked into it, but from what I've heard, it had a direct line of sight to his boarding. That wouldn't surprise me at all either. They are 100% going after Trump. They are going after the admin. They are going after all sorts of leadership over inside of the United States. That is very, very real. Here's some more bombing videos. Sorry about that. Refilling my coffee. So, as you guys can see, a lot of these strikes are taking place in very close proximity to civilians, right? Like this video is what? Maybe a block away from where some of these airstrikes are taking place. Now, in the past, what we would see is we would see leaflets being dropped warning people to get out of the area. You know what I haven't seen over the last 24 hours, and maybe I missed it, is Israel dropping leaflets before these attacks. I haven't seen any of that. I haven't heard about any roof knockings taking place. I haven't heard about any cell phone calls being put out beforehand. I haven't heard about any of that crap. And by the way, Israel's not required to do that. When you start taking a look at the laws of armed conflict and international law, which is a combination of a bunch of different things, this isn't going to be a class on that, but when you start looking at that, it says that they are to do their best in order to mitigate civilian deaths. They don't have to do that. Somebody says, are they civilians? Good question. That is the question that we all must ask ourselves. Are they civilians? And what constitutes a civilian versus an enemy combatant? Also a very good question. If somebody is providing material support to Hamas, they're an enemy combatant. If somebody is moving weapons and equipment for Hamas, they're an enemy combatant. If somebody is acting as a lookout for Hamas, they are an enemy combatant. Now, those people can be classified as enemy combatants and dress exactly like civilians. They don't have to put on Hamas attire to be considered to be considered enemy combatants. That's not how the rules are written. And so they don't have to give warnings in order to conduct these airstrikes, despite popular belief. You know, they were giving up to 45 minutes in some of the cases before this ceasefire took place, before Israel went in and actually just started attacking like some of those tall structures and tall towers and things like that over inside Gaza. Up to 45 minutes to an hour is the amount of time that Israel was giving for warnings for some of these airstrikes. Now it looks like they're just dropping bombs. I'm pretty confident that I would have heard of leaflets being dropped or cell phone calls being put out. So why do I think that's important? Because that shows an escalation on Israel's side. If we are to be critical thinkers, which I'm trying to build on this channel, and you can think about it however you want. I obviously have a bias that goes against Islamic extremism after fighting in the global war on terrorism for so long. And if you guys don't know, a member of Hamas was in fact arrested inside of the United States over this weekend as well. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. Member of Hamas was arrested inside of the United States over this weekend. He allegedly took part in the attacks on October 7th, and that's actually why he ended up getting picked up. So those people are here in the U.S. They do want to commit acts of violence here in the U.S. Obviously, I'm going to support the people as long as they're on the right side of history and not just murdering civilians at a crazy rate, you know, that would suggest a genocide, which currently there is no genocide that is taking place. But when we look at this, what this is Israel literally cutting loose. Like, no more games are being played in Gaza. And that is if there was one thing that I can impress upon you today, that the gloves are officially coming off. You know, we thought it was going to happen last time. I think finally people have learned that in this administration, that you cannot negotiate with Hamas. They try to prop themselves up as a legitimate governing force. They try to act as if they're on the right side of history, when in fact, they are not. Here's some more airstrikes, again, taking place over this weekend inside of Gaza. If you needed evidence that this stuff is going down, that it's going to be very, very real very, very soon, there you have it. This video is actually coming out of Khan Yunis, all right? Hamas has now claimed that they located an additional hostage body. So far, they've only turned over 3 bodies of the 20-something that they were supposed to be returning, and they have been using heavy construction equipment over inside of Khan Yunis. I've seen several different videos being put out by Al Jazeera over the last several days that Hamas has been digging and trying to locate those bodies inside of Gaza. Problem is that they hadn't been able to locate any, and that they actually turned over a body that was not, in fact, one of the hostages. They ended up running DNA evidence and all sorts of crap on the bodies that Hamas returned to make sure that they were properly identified. Turns out they didn't turn over the right bodies. All of this is construction equipment over inside of Khan Yunis that they have been using in order to find hostages.
شوارع المدينة المدمرة دمار كبير
يا
باب إعادة إحياء هذه المدينة المنكوبة، مدينة خان يونس الحبيبة. شارع جلال مركز المدينة.
I ended up running a poll, and I want you guys to go over in the chat, and I want you to vote on that poll. I said, did you actually think Hamas would have honored the ceasefire agreement? 97% of you so far have said no. 3% of you said yes. To those 3% of you, I highly suggest you follow this channel because you won't have to think that anymore. All right. There's lots of different things that I can point to actually show you that Hamas wasn't going to honor the ceasefire agreement, including their own words that are written down in their charter. It's just not a snowball's chance in hell. I actually sat here on this channel weeks ago when the word of the ceasefire agreement had came out. And I said, I highly, highly doubt it. I pray that it goes through that way. I hope that it goes through. I hope that Hamas disarms. But just knowing Hamas, knowing the historical trend, knowing that they've literally violated every single ceasefire agreement, I don't actually see that working out and coming through. What I actually see is Hamas violating the ceasefire agreement and going right back to war. Now, and I guess if we were to look at all of this crap and say what the positive side, I mean, if you guys even look, I mean, just in the background of this video, you can just see the amount of destruction that's has taken place down there. I would think, I'm just going to hold off on that one. Alicia. It's like you're saying making peace deals with terrorists are a pointless exercise. Also, we're going to do anything about the Christian genocide in Nigeria. Don't worry. I actually have, I'm going to be talking about the Christian genocide over inside of Nigeria. I've got a video to show what's going on with that. So thank you for bringing that up. It's freaking disgusting what's taking place in Nigeria. And people are complaining about this, but nobody wants to talk about Nigeria. Well, we're going to start talking about Nigeria today because a lot of Christians have been killed. And it's time to start speaking out against that. Now, it might be a good thing that we were able to get those 20 alive hostages out. Maybe that was part of the chess game the entire time, that as long as we can get the alive hostages out of there, knowing Hamas is going to violate it, fine. But let's get the alive people out that we have been able to confirm that are alive. That way, the IDF can go in and just start bombing the crap out of places. Now, that might be the reason we're seeing the shift in policy, if what I think is true, that Israel didn't do any warnings prior to these airstrikes. Because previously, they're bombing Hamas positions. And they're giving warnings because they're worried that those hostages might be in those Hamas positions. Now that those alive hostages are out of there, they don't have to give warnings anymore because they don't have to worry about killing their own people. That very well could be the reason that we're seeing all of these things go in the opposite direction. This is allegedly the body that Hamas claims that they ended up finding. This gentleman is a father. He got killed as his wife and kids were actually running away. He's providing cover for them, and he got killed because of that. They still took his body. They still captured his wife and children. Now, the wife and kids ended up getting released at a different time. But now that all of this is going on, after Hamas has been called out for violating the ceasefire agreement, now they're coming out and saying, you know what? We found a guy. Maybe we should keep this ceasefire in place a little bit more. And this is what they do every single time. They try to drag things out to the best of their ability. 95% of you so far that voted in that poll I put up 3 minutes ago had no faith that this ceasefire deal was going to take place or actually stick and go through. I'm going to go ahead and close that poll out, and I want to welcome a brand new True supporter, Daniel Lyons. Daniel, dude, I thought you were a True supporter a long time ago. Why is it telling me that you are just now becoming a brand new True supporter? We all know that's not true. Here's another issue. Houthis raided a UN office in Sana'a, Yemen, and took 20-plus UN aid workers hostage. I'm going to be digging into this a heck of a lot more because it seems to me that Israel is going to end up riding on the Houthis as well, down over inside of Yemen. I told you guys, I want to say it was on Friday, that Israel had begun airstrikes again over inside of Lebanon, right? And let me catch again, for those of you guys that are unfamiliar with the channel and unfamiliar with some of the things that we do, clear that measurement off the screen right here. So there we have Gaza, right? And then up in the north here, we have Lebanon. All right. So here's Israel and here is Lebanon. Over here in the south of Lebanon is where Hezbollah, right, is operating. They used to be about 200,000 strong at the start of this conflict, at the start of the war. They were about 200,000 strong. Word is that they have been depleted down to about 20% of their original power. In November of last year, a ceasefire deal again ended up taking place between Israeli Defense Force soldiers and Hezbollah. And what is supposed to be happening is Hezbollah is supposed to be disarming and moving out of this area inside of southern Lebanon. The Lebanese government, all right, has been actively moving towards disarming Hezbollah as well. And for a while there, it actually looked like we were going to have peace and that there was going to be hope that Hezbollah has essentially been dismantled. I no longer believe that to be the case with the Ayatollah coming out stating that they have nuclear weapons. I mean, let's just be honest. That's, I mean, what the Ayatollah was trying to say in that original post that I ended up putting up. The Ayatollah was, you know, stating that. Now, the Ayatollah and the IRGC are the main suppliers of Hezbollah. Right, Hezbollah was the largest non-state terror organization prior to the start of this conflict. Since the conflict took place, since Israel invaded Lebanon last year and ended up wiping Hezbollah and pushing them supposedly back north of the Litani River, Hezbollah has been severely degraded. But they have refused to disarm. And Israel has been launching airstrike campaign up over inside of southern Lebanon against them. There's a video of some of those airstrikes taking place just a couple of hours ago, right across the Israeli border. This is the problem. If Hezbollah was going to disarm, if Hezbollah was supposed to disarm, and they actually abided by that, then we wouldn't be seeing these airstrikes. So with Israel increasing operations inside of Gaza, with them being greenlit to go after them, and with Hezbollah refusing to disarm in the north, and with the Ayatollah, right? And by the way, the IRGC answers directly to the Ayatollah. Just FYI. If you didn't know that, now you do. The IRGC, right? Which is a militant wing of Iran. It is listed as a foreign terror organization by the United States government because of their work with Hezbollah and several other international terror organizations, even the Houthis down inside Yemen, right? That's Iran's doing. With Iran coming out, and the Ayatollah bringing up nuclear weapons again, with Hezbollah refusing to disarm, it is possible that they have reestablished communications and that Hezbollah is gearing up for another attack against Israel because Israel is about to wipe Hamas off the face of the earth. All of these different terror organizations coordinate amongst each other. And those different coordinations cause a problem, which is going to bring me now to a talk about October 7th. Derek Joloff says, good morning, Matt, and everyone who does the U.S. say enough is enough. And did you hear about Iran and China, the of UN humanitarian resources? I can't make out the question. Can you please just re-super chat so I can, you know, and state it? I don't understand your question. I don't understand it. But again, here's more airstrikes taking place over inside southern Lebanon. If you guys needed more evidence that Israel's gloves are now coming off against the enemies that stand against their country, here it is. Not only do we have an uptick of airstrikes inside of Gaza, we have an uptick of airstrikes inside of southern Lebanon. I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing an uptick of airstrikes inside of Yemen prior to all of this stuff going down over inside of Gaza, because the moment Israel goes back to get inside Gaza, you better believe the Houthis are going to start firing more ballistic missiles at Israel. And let's not forget that Iran also has the capability to continue to fire ballistic missiles at Israel, just like they did last year. And I do believe that that's still a possibility. I'm shocked that Iran hasn't done that yet. But now with the Ayatollah publicly stating about their nuclear weapons program not being dismantled, it would not surprise me if we start seeing an uptick from Iran as well. So this is your warning. This is your warning. If Israel goes back in to wipe out Hamas, there's a strong chance that the IRGC, Hezbollah, ends up attacking Israel and that we have an entirely different front kicking off yet again because of all these stupid ceasefire agreements. They don't work. I can't express that enough. They simply don't work. This is another picture of the countryside from southern Lebanon of IAF, Israeli Air Force bombings, taking place over this weekend. This is happening, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not going anywhere. All right. Now, I want to explain something to the people that are in the chat. All right. I'm going to open up the map and I'm going to show you guys. I'm going to show you guys overview of Israel and some of the things that took place on October 7th in an attempt to make things just a little bit more clear. All right. Of what actually went down and why this threat that I'm talking about is so existential to the state of Israel, also to the United States of America. All right. Hezbollah, 200,000 strong, like I said, up on Israel's northern border. You guys can barely see it up here at the top of your screen. When the events of October 7th took place, there was three main waves of attacks that ended up coming through. Now, what you can actually see down here, all right, and this is one of the main breach points that Hamas used on October 7th, and they just started driving north, right, up towards like the Nova Music Festival. And what you can see, this whole little area right here, if we were to take this and break this down, this is going to be described as the Gaza envelope. You've got near Oz. This is one of the villages that Hamas ended up going through. But there is one road, all right, that you guys can end up seeing that basically leads all the way down here. So when Hamas started traveling north and heading up, all right, on October 7th, what ended up occurring was there is one way in to go fight Hamas. And because of how rapidly they drove up that highway and took control, when people went to go respond, they ended up driving straight down a freaking two-lane paved highway right into vehicle after vehicle after vehicle filled with Hamas fighters. All they did was throw up a roadblock, and anybody that tried to respond ended up getting murdered. Now, the phone calls and stuff like that were coming out from some of the kibbutzes that were down there, along with the Nova Music Festival, which, by the way, all right, I want you to take a look at where that highway is at in relation to these kibbutzes. We can take a look at Near Oz, for example. Hamas moving and marching up these main supply routes and these main highways going north. So they're in control of this road right here on October 7th. Again, you've got Near Oz hanging out right there. So if Hamas is in control of these locations, all right, on these highways, if people flee to the east, what are they going to run into? They're going to run into Hamas. If they flee to the west, what are they going to run into? They're going to run into Gaza. These people were trapped. These people were trapped. They had nowhere to go, and that's why we saw such high casualty figures. Now, at the same time, because of how rapidly this was developing, and how many people were getting murdered down there, when those phone calls went out and they were partial phone calls of different attacks taking place, Israel's primary concern and the IDF's primary concern, believe it or not, wasn't Hamas. It was actually Hezbollah up here in the north. Their actual concern was with Hezbollah all the way up here in the north. When those calls came in, you had a lot of reservists worried that that 200,000 strong Hezbollah was going to end up crossing the border. So a lot of reservists, a lot of Israeli soldiers ended up just picking up the rifles and their gear and just hauling butt up to the northern border. Meanwhile, down in the south, you had all of these people getting murdered inside of this gigantic kill zone, all right? This gigantic kill zone, okay? You guys can see it. Again, basically one route to be able to get in there. Gigantic kill zone where Hamas was just murdering people over the course of hours. People that tried to flee would either run into Hamas along the roadway or they'd run into the fence line. That's it. They had nowhere to go. Trapped inside. People that were responding ended up having that. So when you hear about helicopters that ended up going down in there and helicopters firing upon these people, that's what... I mean, they're firing on Hamas. Hamas is taking hostages. Hamas is killing people. That's what's going down. So you have all of these different moving pieces. When we talk about fog of war, man, it was huge. So now, bringing that up to present day and having a decent understanding of everything that was going down, where you had Hezbollah that was coordinating, where you had Hamas that ended up launching this attack on their own, and let's not forget about the Houthis all the way down in Yemen, all of this coordinated by the IRGC. And you have now Iran coming out saying that they still have a nuclear weapons program. It opens up a whole new can of worms that the United States, that Israel, that any peace-loving country, allegedly like Jordan and Egypt over in the Middle East, now have a different thing that they have to deal with. Did the United States make some deals with Qatar and Saudi Arabia? Yes, we did. Why? Look at Saudi, look at Qatar, look at their geographical locations, look at the freaking overall impact that they have on the region. If we want peace over there, yep, we got to have an agreement with them. We got to deal with this crap, right? If we want peace over there, we've got to do that. But I don't think it's turning out the way it's supposed to go. I told you guys about what's taking place over in Nigeria. It's not a joke about the Christians that are actually being murdered over there. I actually think I have. Let's see here. Nope, that ain't it. That ain't it. Where did I put it? Did I put it all the way down here? I might have actually grabbed this for later because I'm going to be putting out a video today. Christians in Nigeria. Over 100,000 Christians since 2009 have been murdered. They burned 18,000 churches. These are Islamic extremists, by the way. They burned 18,000 churches. 7,000 Christians so far estimated have been killed in 2025 alone. On average, 32 Christians are being murdered every day by Islamic extremists over inside of Nigeria. Over 100 churches are being destroyed on a monthly basis. More than 15 million Christians have been displaced since 2009. At least 600 clergy members have been kidnapped. They're all members of Boko Haram, ISWAP, and Fulani militants who are going after these villages and churches. Look at this. This is Nigeria. This is Christians being murdered by Islamic extremists. There are so many of them being killed. So many of them being killed, murdered, genocided, that they're actually having to dig mass graves and have these mass funerals for these people. Look at this. This is what's taking place. This is an actual genocide. This is what they're trying to tell you is taking place inside Gaza, yet you don't see these scenes coming out of Gaza. You see these coming out of Nigeria because this is what a genocide looks like. This is what mass murder looks like. Those types of numbers that I talked about. 100,000 killed. 32 a day being murdered by these Islamists. The world is silent on it. I'm not going to be silent on it anymore. I'm over it. If we're going to talk about genocide, we're going to pretend like a genocide is taking place inside Gaza. We're 100% going to show this. And by the way, all we're talking about right now is Gaza, Nigeria, Lebanon, things of that nature. We haven't even mentioned the poop storm that's about to open up over inside of Ukraine, between Ukraine and Russia, and everything that's going on with that. That whole thing has fallen through, for those of you that don't know. Any expectation of peace in between Ukraine and Russia is off. It's not happening. I was talking with Nate Vance last night. Maybe if, Nate, if you're listening and you're not busy, you'd be able to jump in here and we could have a discussion about that. But it's absolutely, I just want to say inevitable right now. The Trump administration has gone over and they have backed Ukraine quite well. And for the first time, we saw the United States administration, the Trump administration, actually pushing European leaders to buy U.S.-made weapons to ship in and send to Ukraine. Ukraine's got lots of issues that are going on. They still have problems with the military, the infantry, having appropriate numbers, having appropriate amounts of weapon systems, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've been told by people on the ground that that situation is slowly getting better. All right, with this administration, they're getting new influxes of weapons and so on and so forth. We might see a counteroffensive next spring from Ukraine actually pushing really hard into Russia. Right now, winter is starting to set in over there. And so it's not comfortable. It's not a good time. And you have this weird, how do I want to say this? Let me get back to Google Maps and put this up and back out and get you guys up over into Ukraine. For those of you that are unfamiliar with it, I mean, Ukraine within itself is basically nothing but a bunch of farmland. Right. Once you get outside of the major urban areas and you start driving down the different roads, you end up just having a bunch of farmland. All the fighting, for the most part, is taking place all the way over here in the eastern portion of the country. Now, as winter starts to set in, what you end up getting is increased rains, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Maneuverability for those armored vehicles and the troops and the supply lines sucks because a lot of these roads are very, very tight. And when the rain hits, it gets very muddy, very disgusting. You start driving logistical convoys over them. They end up getting stuck. You can't maneuver. You can't do anything. once winter sets in, that ground ends up getting frozen over. I was digging out some defensive fighting positions over there and had a backhoe in the dead of winter coming in, digging out these fighting positions. And you're talking about the permafrost, or the amount of ground and terrain that was frozen, like how deeply it penetrates going down there. I feel like it was almost a meter deep at one point. I mean, the ground is so frozen, it's not even funny over inside of that country. And so in the wintertime, it's possible for them to maneuver those vehicles because the ground's essentially a rock, right? It gets frozen to the point where it essentially becomes a rock. But it's also very, very difficult to move. The coldest I've ever been on in my life was over inside of that country, and it sucks. It is freezing freaking cold over there. Adam says, what's my take on Venezuela? Over inside Venezuela, I'm really not that worried about it, right? Do I think that we are going to, yeah. And so Adam, that's a great question. Let me give some people some background. So over the weekend as well, the Trump administration and the Department of War actually sank numerous cartel boats that were coming out of Venezuela. Numerous. I saw at least two different videos that I can attest to right now of these cartel boats being sunk that were coming out of Venezuela and heading over to the United States of America. And the Trump administration is going to continue to do that. Do I think that we are going to invade Venezuela? Absolutely not. Do I see an increase of U.S. presence in the area? Yep. Do I think that that is more of a show of force than anything? Yes, I do. I think that is a huge show of force by the United States government. Are we going to invade Venezuela? No. Do I see a massive naval blockade against these illegal cartels continuing throughout the future and these boats to continue to be sunk until they get the message that we're not playing games? Yes, I do. Now, what I think that's going to translate to and what we're going to start seeing here in the United States, which is, I think, why ICE is going in so heavy right now on a lot of these illegal aliens over here in the United States, is what they're trying to do is prevent attacks on U.S. soil. So it is not, right, in Venezuela's favor to try to go to war against the United States military. They're going to lose. It doesn't take a genius to know that. Plus, you'd have like people from Colombia coming to join the fight and all sorts of weird stuff, right? But what I do think makes more sense for them is to try to launch attacks, because they are a terror organization, make no mistake about it, here on U.S. soil. I do believe that to be true. And with ICE going after them and apprehending all of these people on a massive scale, what they're actually doing is preventing some of those terror attacks from taking place from the Trump administration going after these drug runners. Now, that's not to say that these attacks aren't going to take place in the future. I still do believe that, number one, we have a actual massive terror threat that's going to take place from Islamic terrorists here in the United States of America again. All right. Like I do see some mass shootings coming out here in the near future. I also see, all right, these drug cartels, as the Trump administration continues to step up and be smashing on these cartels down in Venezuela, I do think that they're going to start doing targeted attacks against DHS agents, against ICE agents, against DEA, FBI, even local law enforcement. Cartel put out $50,000 hits on any of these agents. I believe it was $10,000 if you actually dox one of them. So they are paying money for people to kill federal agents. They are paying money for people to dox federal agents so that they can send their people after to kill. That is a precursor for the violence to come. So I think what their goal is going to be is to take the violence and the fight here on American soil, because they can't win the other one physically on the ground against the military. But what they know they can do is attack federal agents here in the United States of America in an attempt to correct policy of the United States. I hope that makes kind of sense for you. I don't know how else to state that. So I would expect in the future to continue to see the Trump administration sinking boats of the cartels down inside Venezuela. I would expect to see a huge uptick in that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I have for you this morning for today's episode. Like I said, I'm putting together a video for, and be on the lookout for it. I'm putting together a video. And maybe I'll just do a whole stream on it tonight, situation dependent for what's going on in Israel. I'm kind of torn on whether or not I want to make a video or just do a stream on it. But the cartel, or I'm sorry, not the cartels. What I'm actually looking at is the organization of Antifa here in the United States and the money that's going into it. And I've been studying a bunch of different videos over this weekend that are coming out from these different protests. And thankfully, from my experience on the ground over inside of Oregon, what I can say is that I have noticed a very common thread of what these protesters from the No Kings protests, the Antifa protests, etc., are doing in the United States. And there is clear signs, clear signs of organization, that they've all been working together, that they're all being backed, that they're all being funded. And that is what I'm going to be going over, is their network tonight. Whether I put that on a video or whether I ended up putting that on a stream, good question, undetermined this time. Matt will get doxed, dude. I've already been doxed a million times over. I'm not even worried about that. Kato OG says, here in Wisconsin, someone got arrested for posting a TikTok trying to get people to kill ICE. Right. Numerous of those TikTok videos have actually came out of people either joking, playing games, but you know, people that are actually sitting out there and saying, nope, we're going after them. You guys want to talk about bot farms and who's behind a lot of this crap? Like I said, you know, Russia and their information campaign is a big, big problem. This video ended up getting put out by Europol. Right, they went in and they busted, all right, a huge bot farm. Thank you for reminding me. They went in, they busted a huge bot farm, and this is what I'm going to close on. I want you guys to watch this video very closely, because inside of this video, there is clear signs that these bot farms, this mis and disinformation campaign, and a lot of this money and stuff like that's being collected is being done by Russia. Now, this is not a small operation. I want you guys to look down this hallway. You can actually see federal agents stacked up at the end of this hallway before they smash this door and go in. You are going to see Russian writing. You are going to see lettering, numbers, things like that on a lot of this different crap. Make no mistake about it, Russia is 1,000% going after launching dis and misinformation campaigns. This is what we call a clue, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, peace, love, happiness. God bless. I'm out of here.